even higher. Max Civili, Rome.
Back on October 3, 2015, this Doctors Without Borders hospital in Kunduz was reduced to rubble after being hit by a U.S. deadly airstrike. 211 shells were fired in the strike, lasting almost 1 hour. The charity hospital later announced that 42 civilians, including staffers and patients, were killed, and dozens of others were wounded.
Throughout the NATO coalition presence in Afghanistan, there were a lot of blind airstrikes and rights violations against Afghan civilians, especially by American air forces. The 2015 attack on Kunduz Charity Hospital was one of those atrocities and the biggest of its kind. As I remember, it was so deadly and devastating. Hospitals in war zones are protected under the 4th Geneva Convention, and attacks on them should be tried as a war crime.
After initially denying the building being targeted, the U.S. eventually claimed responsibility for the airstrikes, justifying that it had been a serious and tragic mistake.
Independently and impartially.
The MSF called it a breach of international humanitarian law and a war crime, demanding for an independent probe. But an independent investigation or trial has never been conducted against the U.S. forces' atrocities.
The MSF and rights bodies believe that the U.S. deadly air raid on Charity Hospital could be prosecuted as a war crime, but the international courts and bodies failed to conduct a trial because they are controlled by arrogant powers. They are funded by those countries and obey them. Besides, the U.S. has never agreed to turn any of their service members over to an outside judicial body. As a result, the case of the Kunduz attack was shot by Washington with a mere discipline of some American personnel, and no one was criminally charged.
Throughout the two-decade U.S. invasion of Afghanistan, there had been more than 13,000 airstrikes conducted by American forces in the country. The U.S. drone war on Afghanistan killed more than 4,000 people, including women and children. The U.S. airstrike on the Charity Hospital in Kunduz is one of the many instances of American forces' atrocities on Afghan soil. People here say the U.S. should be held accountable for crimes it has committed in Afghanistan. Rahmatullah Baghban, Kabul.
Muslims in London were compelled to mobilize outside an Islamic center on Saturday following recent Islamophobic violence by anti-Iran protesters. On Sunday, the 25th of September, London witnessed an outpouring of anti-Muslim attacks as protesters claiming to support Mirza Amini were filmed attacking Shia Muslims commemorating Arbaeen and the Iranian Islamic Center of England, following clashes with police outside Iran's embassy.
Last week, our mosque was attacked. Our procession was attacked. People were attacked that weren't even Iranian. Had nothing. They didn't know anything about what was going on. And it impedes our freedom of religion in this country.
Protests over the death of Amini, a 22-year-old Iranian woman who fell to the floor at a police station on September the 16th, started shortly after her death was announced. Those protests soon turned into violent riots, with masked people attacking security officers, resorting to vandalism and desecrating religious sanctities, including hijab burnings. Dissident groups outside of Iran were quick to board the bandwagon, engaging in violent protests throughout Europe, especially in London and Paris.
We've got people not of an Iranian origin, but in fact of multinational origin who have come out here to direct their anger to these people who are loaded with anti-Islamic people, LGBT people, and all elements which are anti-Islam who have come out here to side with an event which has happened in Iran. But really, they don't care about that event.
A police presence remains outside the Islamic Center, that groups are continuing to target the site.
Saturday's demonstration passed by peacefully without any major incidents occurring. However, locals informed me that they remained deeply concerned that future attacks may take place. They also informed me that they were deeply frustrated at the local authorities who failed to protect the community. Robert Carter, London.
Ask the followers of the remembrance if ye know not.
You're listening to the program The Key on IRIB English Radio with Shiraz Hossein Agha, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Rome and a PhD in philosophy.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Welcome to our program, The Key, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on The Key, we're going to be asking and responding to a very important question. And that question is regards to the legitimacy of the birth of non-Muslims. Meaning, should we consider non-Muslims as illegitimate or should we consider them to be legitimately born? What is the answer to this question? In order to answer this question, we have to take something into consideration, and that question is this, that the relation of marriage is one of the necessary elements of every human society, and it was established for the protection, the sustainment, and subsistence of human progeny, and there's no recourse but for this institution to be established. Therefore, it's only natural that in every nation, in every religion, the institution of marriage was present, it existed, and obviously, this institution, it took on different forms in different eras and different religions. This is obvious. At the same time, we know that these differences does not cause the nature of those, that the institution of marriage to change. I mean, it doesn't cause that those ceremonies to become something else, and for their essences to change and not be considered marriages, to the extent that, according to Islam, the marriage is conducted in every nation, in every religion, before or even now, it's considered these as acceptable, and therefore the children born from these marriages, we consider them legitimate. For example, we have a riwayat, a hadith from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, in which he said that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, do not curse the polytheists, right? Do not curse them, because every nation has its own form of marriage, right? Right? This kind of indicates that these marriages were considered legitimate, and the children born for them were considered legitimate children, not illegitimate children, right? And we also have another hadith, again narrated from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, that the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi salam prohibited Muslims from cursing, their non-Muslim slave girls, and he said you shouldn't say that. You shouldn't call them and curse them by calling them illegitimate, right? Because, and the Prophet says that every nation had its own form of marriage, right? So this indicates kind of that the marriage is conducted in those other religions. Islam accepted them as legitimate, and therefore the children born from them were legitimate children. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam has also been reported to have said, do you not know that every group of people, every nation has its own form of marriage by means of which they they stay away from fornication. So this clearly indicates that this is acceptable in Islam. Thank you for joining us here on The Key. We were looking at whether non-Muslims are considered legitimate or not. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Shiraz Hussein Agha, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Rome and a PhD in philosophy, on the program The Key on IRIB English Radio.
You can also send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
Join us in this journey, IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
In the limelight.
In the United States, the school district in Uvalde, Texas, has suspended its entire police force. The school district says activities have been halted for a period of time amid an investigation into the police response to last May's massacre at an elementary school in Uvalde. Please stay with us for the world media's coverage of this story. British newspaper The Guardian has more on this story. The school district in Uvalde, Texas, suspended its entire police force on Friday, 7th of October, 5 months after a shooting in which 19 children and 2 teachers were killed, the district school said in a statement. The move followed a wave of outrage over the hiring of a former Texas state trooper who was part of the hesitant law enforcement response during the May shooting incident at the Robb Elementary School in Uvalde. School teachers also put 2 members of the district police department on administrative leave, one of whom chose to retire instead, according to a statement released by the Uvalde School District. The extraordinary move to suspend campus police operations 1 month into a new school year in the South Texas community underscored the sustained pressure that families of some of those killed on 24th of May have placed on the school district. Brett Cross, whose 10-year-old son, Uzziah Garcia, was among the victims, had been protesting outside the Uvalde School Administration building for for the past 2 weeks, demanding accountability over police officers who allowed a gunman with an AR-15-style rifle to remain in a fourth-grade classroom for more than 70 minutes. "We did it," Brett Cross tweeted on Friday. The Texas state senator who represents Uvalde, Roland Gutierrez, issued a statement on Friday thanking Brett Cross and Cross's supporters for their persistence. "The Uvalde massacre shocked the conscience of our nation," Roland Gutierrez's statement added. "This cannot be the end. We still need full transparency and justice from every agency and every level of government that failed us in Uvalde." The district said it would ask the Texas Department of Public Safety, which already assigns dozens of troopers to the district, for additional help. "We are confident that the staff and student safety will not be compromised during this transition," the school district said. The school district is also reportedly considering retirement options for and a plan to transition from its superintendent, Hal Harrell. Hal Harrell was in his 31st year of education when the killings at Robb Elementary School unfolded last May. The move to suspend the Uvalde School District police force comes a day after revelations that the district not only hired a former trooper who was one of nearly 400 officers who rushed to Robb Elementary School on 24th of May, but that she was among at least seven troopers later placed under internal investigation. Crimson Elizondo was fired on Thursday, just one day after CNN reported her hiring. She has not responded to voicemails and messages. ABC News tells us more about the same story. The Uvalde, Texas school district still facing withering criticism over its police department's failings, both during the 24th of May elementary school massacre and since, announced the suspension of the entire district police force on Friday. Hours later, Uvalde school district superintendent Hal Harrell announced he would be retiring. There was no time frame given for Hal Harrell's retirement, but the transition will be discussed in a closed session of the school board on Monday. The district said it's requested more Texas Department of Public Safety troopers to be stationed on campuses and at extracurricular activities amid the police department's suspension, adding, "We are confident that staff and student safety will not be compromised during this transition." The length of the school district police suspension is not clear. Lieutenant Miguel Hernandez, who was tasked with leading the department in the fallout from the shooting that killed 19 students and two teachers, and Ken Muller, the UCISD's Director of Student Services, were placed on administrative leave. Miguel Hernandez acknowledged in a law enforcement communication in August that he'd received formal notification from DPS that an officer applying to Uvalde School Police Force was under investigation for her response at the Robb Elementary School last May. Ken Muller has elected to retire, according to the school district. Officers currently employed will fill other roles in the district, the school district said. According to the district's website, that includes four police officers and one security guard. Victims' families, led by Brett Cross, guardian of 10-year-old victim Uzia Garcia, had been holding a round-the-clock vigil outside the school district headquarters, calling for change. The families are now commending Friday's police department announcement. "We've gotten a little bit of accountability and emotional," Brett Cross told ABC News. "So it's a win, and we don't get very many of those." Kimberly Rubio, whose daughter, Lexi, was killed at the Robb Elementary School, said the department's suspension was what we've been asking for. "It's more than we've been asking for. They don't know how to hire people. They don't know how to vet police officers," she told ABC News. "They haven't provided proper training." Gloria Cazares, who whose 9-year-old daughter Jackie was killed in the massacre, called the department's suspension bittersweet. "It's a win, a small win," she told ABC News, "but we're not done." Belinda Ariola, a grandmother of victim, Amary Jo Garza, added, "This is the perfect example of why we don't stop. We're going to continue because there are other children that still go to school here. We have a lot of siblings of the deceased that go here," she said. "We want to make sure our kids are secure and protected, and we want to make sure that the people protecting them are willing to protect them." The department's suspension comes one day after the firing of Crimson Elizondo, the police officer who was hired by Uvalde School District despite being under investigation for her conduct as a DPS trooper during the massacre last May. Crimson Elizondo was the first DPS member to enter the hallway at Robb Elementary School after the shooter gained entry to the school. The trooper did not bring her rifle or vest into the school, according to the results of an internal review.
This is A to Z. An introduction into an Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, the right of advice. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome everyone. You're listening to A to Z program from the IRB English Radio. I'm your host Hussein Hinzano, and in today's lesson, we're talking about the right of advice. Your friend is he who accompanies you, an everlasting wisdom practiced by sensible friends, men and women. Thus, the right of a friend over his friend is that he should advise him. Always remember that an advice is a show of love to the other person. And the other person, he definitely, so long as you call them your friend, they are owning the right of advice from you. Because every man needs advice from others, as he needs to prepare himself to accept advice also. For some people, they might not be very ready, you know, to accept advice from people. But later on, when they're not accepting the advice, they regret in life because they end up doing mistakes. All the human beings in life are created and they're and doing mistakes every time. So having an advice from a friend, from someone you love, from someone you are together with, can help you reduce a huge amount of the mistakes that you do in your life. Man's knowledge and experiences are limited, and he has some stimulus in himself, which sometimes pushes him towards good. So sometimes, also, his knowledge can push him towards evil, and likewise. So there are some elements in man's life which encourage him to perform evil actions. Therefore, unless this particular person finds somebody to advise and guide them, many may fall into dangerous situations. Indeed, somebody who is not well-versed in his life is liable to commit many mistakes in his practical life. Thus, he is in need of somebody to give him advices and knowledge. So sharing an advice is something that we need to look at, and it's a right between two relationships. Whenever you have a friend, you're owing them an advice, and also them are owing you an advice. You're owing each other the right of advice.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parstoday.com.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. You're listening to A to Z program from the IRB English Radio. I'm your host Hussein Hinzano, and we are talking about the right of advice. That two friends owe each other the right of advice. Whenever you have a friend, you need to advise them whenever you can. And them also, they need to advise you because we are not complete. We need each other. We need the advice of someone else in order for it to, you know, carry us along and make us make lesser mistakes in our lives. An advice can make you turn from a distorted person to a good personality, to a good leader in the world. Thus, everyone needs from somebody an advice. So a friend needs from anyone to give him an advice and knowledge. And this definitely may help them to choose the right channel or even the social, political, and economic activities. And in choosing this, it causes them to come up with a good act in their life. So it is the right of your friend. It is the right of your friend over you to give him advices and to provide him with your experience in a particular thing, which will help him. It is either that you advise him to leave such a thing if there is danger in it, or to encourage him to act upon it if it is beneficial, or even to prove him with enough guidance and knowledge on that particular matter, so as to, you know, use in his action or an issue which he faced it in his life, like studies, marriage, type of work, or buying and selling of goods, or even participating in any social activity. However, because of its importance, giving an advice is sometimes incumbent upon us, and no doubt Allah will punish us if we neglect to advise our fellow brothers on something that may harm them. And our great religion commands us to advise our friends and relatives because it is important. Thank you so much for listening to this show. Until next episode, inshallah, fi amanillah, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Please log on to our website www.parstoday.com/en.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With the light.
Foam is fun to play with, particularly for kids, but when it's mixed with art, it also becomes a grown-up matter. And that's what a German artist has done, creating a sea of rainbow-colored foam as an interactive art piece and allowing the audience to enjoy themselves and become part of the art. Colors mixed by Stephanie Luning were turned into rainbow-hued foam cascading down the stairs. The performance was called Island of Foam, version 18. Excited children jumped in as soon as the bubbly sea reached the base of the stairs, delighted to be playing in the rainbow playground. The art piece is made up of largely of water and a food coloring. The artist says she loves working in public spaces and reaching a broad audience of all ages.
Because I like to be surprised by the result myself, and I like to work with this that you never know how it's going to turn out. You have the wind, the weather conditions, the locations, the audience. You never know how the people are going to respond and how the artwork turns out. And that's really what I like a lot, and also how to reach a broad audience.
However, Stephanie says there's tons of work behind all the fun, and cleaning up the mess can be hard. Interactive art is a form of art that achieves this purpose by involving the audience. The immersive art piece is part of the Greenwich and Docklands International Festival, an annual festival of performing arts and outdoor theatre.
Robots are slowly but surely becoming part of everyday life, taking on human roles in different areas. Now, fast food restaurants can make French fries faster and better as a robot called Flippy 2 takes over the job.
When an order comes in through the restaurant system, it automatically spits out the instructions to Flippy. It takes a frozen product, fries it for the precise amount of time, and puts the finished product in the end. It does it faster, more accurately, more reliably, and happier than most humans do it.
Flippy 2 has been created in a robotic lab in California called MISO after 5 years of efforts by its developers. According to the project engineers, a really good understanding of the food science is needed to make sure the food quality is there, how different food sticks together, and how the temperature and heat affect it. The MISO CEO says the machine can cook several meals with different recipes simultaneously, removing the need for catering staff.
This technology utilizes a whole bunch of computer vision. There's cameras throughout the system, including right here we have these food identification cameras. The cameras not only guide the robot and tell it exactly where it is in space and how to move through this area, but also identifies the food type and it knows the recipe for each one.
The MISO CEO says tasks like the fry station are the kind that humans are most happy to offload. The name Flippy comes from the original machine designed to flip burgers, which was not very useful for restaurants. On the outskirts of China's metropolis, Shanghai, a tiny island has been dubbed Cat Island as it provides shelter for stray animals. Since it opened last month, a charity based on the island is taking in cats mainly brought from Shanghai residents. These small carnivorous mammals are neutered and evaluated, and those with good temper and health are allowed to roam free on the island. The city's Stray Cats Management Center says their trap-neuter-release policy is to protect stray cats, limits their population, and maintain ecological balance. However, Shanghai has an estimated 200 stray cats per square kilometer, which means other methods will be needed to control the urban population, stray cats. A pair of baby panda twins make their debut appearance at the Chongqing Zoo in southwest China, with visitors flocking to cherish the abundance of cuteness.
Our returnee panda, Ershan, gave birth to the twin brother and sister on July 22nd this year. Currently, the elder brother weighs 4.3 grams and the younger sister weighs 0.6 grams. They're in good condition at present.
The twins' first public appearance was on Saturday, the first day of the week-long National Day holidays. During this week, the pair of giant panda cubs will be on display in the nursery of the panda house of the zoo. Their mother, Ershan, once lived in Canada as a goodwill envoy, but returned to her homeland in 2020. This was Ershan's second delivery of twins. A total of 21 pandas currently live in the Chongqing Zoo, which has been breeding giant pandas since the 1960s. The evolution of robots has been one of the fascinations of recent technological developments. And now the most cutting-edge achievements in that department were presented to the public during a conference in Beijing. The four-day annual World Robot Conference was held both offline and online. It featured three major events, including forum, expo, and competition. On display were more than 500 sets of robots from 130 companies from China and abroad. The conference gave an idea of how the future of humanity will be impacted by the automations. It shows how they can contribute to different sectors, from the restaurant industry and medicine to elderly care, agriculture and manufacturing.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
An aircraft powered by electricity may still be some way off, but one of its types is already here thanks to a whole range of innovative solutions being developed by aviation firms. American company Aviation Aircraft has debuted its all-electric plane in Washington State. The aircraft, named Alice, took off the runway at Grand County International Airport and flew for 8 minutes. It reached an altitude of 3,500 feet before touching down the ground. According to the company, the aircraft produces no carbon emissions, significantly reduces noise, and costs a fraction to operate compared to usual light jets. The company says it continues to develop and tweak the plane's battery system for an hour flight.
We're targeting a design criteria of 35 minutes for a charge. Okay, and so that'll be a charge for the typical route length. It's actually, as I just said, it's actually a design point. So going back to the comment I made earlier about designing batteries for aircraft, it's one of the considerations is how quickly do we want it to charge and how much power do you want to be able to draw from it. So again, we're targeting call it 30 minutes of charge for an hour of flight time or about 2C if you're...
The company aims to find its way into the market for trips that sit between 150 and 250 miles, a range that features aircraft similar in size to Alice. It will also be for both commuter and cargo flights. For aircraft manufacturers, this paradigm shift is driving fuel savings in flight and on the ground, reducing carbon footprints and NOx emissions while also improving reliability and cutting maintenance costs. Many people of the world are supported almost completely by animals because they live in areas unsuitable for animal husbandry. But these days, even some city dwellers are making their living out of animals, like a Virginia girl. Andrea Diaz quit her job at a restaurant and started to rent her pet alpacas to cheer up steer crazy Americans during the pandemic. Since the launch of her business in 2020, it has expanded from 2 to 14 alpacas. Interestingly, 5 with fluffy pets are regularly making a paid appearance at birthdays, weddings, restaurants, and offices. She charges a starting price of $95 per hour. Diaz says the best part is when there are kids' birthday parties, but even it's really a fun for the adults. She calls alpacas a good exposure because they attract people.
In most of its habitats, the heavily trafficked pangolin faces the biggest threat from humans. But in Taiwan, these gentle creatures are exposed to quite a different danger, feral dogs. In the island, a government policy has led to a surge in the population of feral dogs. The pangolins share most of their roaming area with the stray animals. Plus, these scaly animals cannot move as fast as their attackers. When faced with danger, pangolins curl themselves into a ball shape, but the tail still remains at the most outer side, and that's where the dogs hit them hard.
Ecuador's Galapagos National Park is testing different coral replanting methods in an effort to restore fragile underwater ecosystems around local islands.
These corals are important because they are recyclers in the ocean. They convert all the CO2 into oxygen. These corals are important because they are refuges, nurseries, and nursery areas for some fish species.
Coral reef die-offs affect the marine food supply chains and are considered a major climate tipping point. The experimental project is run by park rangers and volunteers in a bay on Santa Cruz Island. Since 2020, they have tested how corals reproduce when they are placed on surfaces like bricks, cement, or tied together and strung on metal frames. They're growing samples in a nursery before adding them to bay. The rangers are reporting improvements with the appearance of new fish near the replanted corals.
A free climber known as the French Spider-Man scales a 48-story skyscraper in Paris to fulfill a goal he set for himself once he reached the age of 60.
A few years back, I promised myself that the day I turn 60, I have to climb the total tower. Because 60 years old marks retirement age in France, and so I thought this would make a very good nod.
Alain Roberts says this building is not as hard as others he has climbed. The French Spider-Man has ascended over 100 of the world's tallest buildings, including the Sydney Tower, the Sears Tower in Chicago, and the Burj Khalifa in Dubai, amongst many others. Roberts says he spent 2 decades climbing mountains before attempting urban climbs. Using his rock climbing experience, he sometimes carries a small bag of climbing chalk to help him grasp the small protrusions of building walls. Many of his climbs can last several hours. The 60-year-old daredevil says he wants to give people the message that age is a number and one can still be active and do sports. A Palestinian farmer has discovered an ancient Byzantine-era mosaic when preparing to plant an olive tree on his plot of land in the Gaza Strip. The farmer and his son have been carefully excavating the area for 3 months since spring. The pair dug out 3 patches, revealing glimpses of an ornate mosaic with intricate images of birds, flora, and tile patterns. Its full size is roughly 23 square meters. The discovery has set off excitement amongst archaeologists. Experts say it is one of the most well-preserved specimens, with precision in graphics and richness in colors. According to archaeologists, the mosaic pavement dates back to the 5th and 7th centuries. Last month, another Palestinian farmer found the rare stone sculpture while working on his land, which dates back to around 2500 BC.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان. ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآله محمد وأجل فرجه.
السلام عليكم brothers and sisters, and welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. Thank you so much for joining us. Inshallah, today we'll be working on Ayah number 11 of Surah Al-Baqarah, which is a good ayah, a nice one, like the other ones, like all the ayat, okay, all the verses of the Quran Kareem. So, In this ayah, inshallah, before we start, let's listen to ayah 11 of Surah Al-Baqarah. Then, inshallah, we'll continue.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ لَا تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ قَالُوا إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ مُصْلِحُونَ أَلَا إِنَّهُمْ هُمُ الْمُفْسِدُونَ وَلَكِنْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ.
Thank you. Now, I will be reciting and I want you to repeat after me. Then we'll have a short explanation about this ayah. And we will start the tajweed, the practical tajweed rules, okay? On this eye. Ready?
Yes.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
Bismillahir rahmanir rahim.
Bismillahir rahmanir rahim.
وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ لَا تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ
وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ لَا تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ
قَالُوا إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ مُصْلِحُونَ
قَالُوا إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ مُصْلِحُونَ
أحسن أحسن. So Allah Almighty again in this ayah, talking about the characteristics of those people who are non-believers, okay? Non-believers, look, for example, we believe like Allah Almighty has sent the Prophet, Allah Almighty has sent the Imams to guide us and to establish a world of justice, a government of justice, a kind of a society with fully fairness, justice, like calmness, okay, peace, anything good, okay?
Fair.
Yeah, fairness. And on the other hand, okay, those who are non-believers, those who are like very much oppressive, those who are the cruel people, okay? And those who do not care about justice, they are all offensive, okay? So they think like they are doing the justice. They are like, they have established a world of justice while they are being so offensive to other people. They kill other people and they say it's their right. Yes? They attack other countries and they think like they are doing the right thing.
Yes.
Okay? So I watched in a clip, okay? It was an interview from the American soldiers, okay? Who were like attacking other countries like Afghanistan, Iraq, Syria, these ones, okay? And they were killing innocent people. Okay? They were like saying that we are fighting the terrorists while they themselves
are the terrorists.
All terrorists. So they were thinking like this, okay? And they thought, okay, they were interviewed, okay? And finally they admitted, they confessed, okay, that we are really sorry. We apologize from the people we killed. We really apologize from the people we killed. The American army, the American government, okay, had given them medals of honor, okay, that you fought for the country.
No, like, and even the army, yeah. Some soldiers came back and said, we're fighting terrorists. We didn't even know who these are.
Yes, and they said that we don't need these medals. These medals are a shame for us. They throw all of them away. Many of the soldiers of America. And I said, so, look, when it says, this ayah is so much kind of meaningful here,
They yeah. even lied to their own army.
Yeah. وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ Allah Almighty says that whenever you say to them, okay, لَا تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ Don't be offensive. Don't spread corruption. Don't spread facade, okay, on the earth, okay? They say, قَالُوا إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ مُصْلِحُونَ We are the people who make peace. We are the peacemakers. We are the people who follow justice. We are the people who establish the world of justice. Stop it, man. You are the terrorists, and that's clear.
Accept it.
Yeah, accept it, confess. That's all. This is the message of this ayah, okay? That do not think like you are the right person, okay?
Yeah.
Just take a look at what you do and you will understand. Like those soldiers understood. MashaAllah to them. So, now, let's take a look at the tajweed rules of this ayah. وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ إِذَا pronunciation of the letter of dhal. Say it once.
إِذَا
إِذَا وَإِذَا إِذَا نُو إِذَا أَلِفْمَتْ قِيلَ لَهُمْ Qila is the passive form of qala.
Yeah.
Okay? Qala, qila. Yes? In Persian as well, we have qilu qal. No, qilu qal, it means, we mean like sayings.
Yes.
You might have heard it, I think. So, وَإِذَنْ قِيلَ لَهُمْ لَهُمْ هَا لَا تُفْسِدُوا. Ah, there is a recitation point, okay? وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ لَا تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ. لَا means don't. Don't spread corruption. Okay? Do not cause corruption. So this has a meaning kind of, we say, you stopping people, yes? From doing something. So, لَا تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Yeah? La,
yes.
You have to emphasize on this. Or the stress.
What does tufsidu mean?
Tufsidu, do not make facade. Do not spread corruption.
Like, without ta, facade is like in its
facade.
Own word?
Tu means you people who are listening to us.
What is the original word?
Facade.
Facade?
Yeah, facindal. Facade. Yeah. Facindal are the original letters, okay? But they... the word, okay, it's been taken from is facade. Okay, facade. So now, لا تفسدوا في الأرض, تفسدوا في الأرض, pronunciation of the letter dot, and also Hamzatul Wasl is skipped here.
Yes.
قلب بالحق تعلق وبغارح راء تألق يبكي يسأل خالقه فأتاه الوحي فأشرق اقرأ اقرأ.
Let's recite the Quran.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
This eye is very easy. قالوا. قالوا. I think there is a mad on the top, yes?
Yes.
Yeah, because we have wow mad plus the next word starts with
Hamza.
Hamza. Usually it's like this. Whenever you have a harful mad plus Hamza, like there is a mad. Either it is wajib or
jais.
Wajib muttasil, jais munfasil. One of this, okay? So either you prolong it or you do not do it. You have to take a look at the rule, okay? That if the Hamza and also the harful mad both are in the same word, it's wajib muttasil, it must be prolonged. If no, they are in two different words, so that's jais munfasil.
Yeah.
Munfasil means they are not in the same word. قالوا إنما نون مشدد.
Yeah.
Yes. إنما نحن. Pronunciation of the letter ha. Okay. إنما. This is an exceptional word. He says it's also an emphasizing word. Okay. إنما. It's us. It's us. And it's only us. Okay. It says it's only us. Only it means innama, it's kind of limiting the meaning, okay?
Just
that no other people, just us. It's just us who make peace, who are the peacemakers. Terrorists say that we are the peacemakers. Yes? قَالُوا innama. Innama means only us. So you got to stress on this word.
قَالُوا إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ مُصْلِحُونَ.
So its translation will be just.
Just, no. It's just dust. Okay. نَحْنُ مُصْلِحُونَ. صَاد and the letter ha and wow maddi. So, this ayah was very easy, alhamdulillah. Okay. Let's now listen to Ali Nasir reciting this ayah. Then you will listen to Fawad. Then you will listen to me. Okay. Ali Nasser, recite this ayah.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
Spread yourself, release your voice.
Yeah,
let
minute.
It go.
I should find it out.
Okay.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wa idha qila lahum la tufsidu fil ardi qalu innama nahnu muslihun.
MashaAllah, without any mistake, let's recite a salawat for him.
Allahumma
salli ala Muhammad wa alihi Muhammad wa atil faraj.
He recites safe.
Okay. Listen, like this fear of like making mistake should not stop you. Okay? yeah, it is clear. It's something normal, okay, that we think, like, I should be very much careful not to make any mistake. Don't worry, okay? Yeah, if you made a mistake, repeat it. Yes. You can fix it. Yeah. If you kind of continue thinking about not making mistake, okay, you will make mistake. Stop thinking about not making mistake. You will never make a mistake. Okay?
Yes. Okay.
So.
Confident.
MashaAllah. Be confident. Go on. Fawad Haider. Let's see how confident Fawad is.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
He's too much confident. Because of that, he forgot A'udhu Billah.
A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Yeah, you should increase your confidence by saying A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem, okay?
Continue. I said Shaitan.
I'm insecure. وَإِذَا
قِيلَ لَهُمْ لَا تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ قَالُوا إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ مُسْلِحُونَ
أحسن, but because he ran out of breath, that's why he couldn't pronounce ha correctly. نَحْنُ مُسْلِحُونَ Okay, alright. Now, repeat after me.
وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ لَا تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ قَالُوا إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ مُصْلِحُونَ وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ لَا تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ قَالُوا إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ مُصْلِحُونَ
أحسنتم ما شاء الله, thank you. So, that's all. About this ayah, the important points here, okay, and also the explanation, a short one, but remember that these explanations are not the complete explanations, okay? You can refer to tafsir books, Fawad and Ali Nasser, and also brothers and sisters listening to us. Make sure you refer to the tafsir books, inshallah, and learn more about these ayats. Thank you. That's all from us for today. Inshallah, in the coming sessions, we will be working on the rest of the verses of Surah Al-Baqarah and also the Quran Kareem, the next surahs. Stay with us. Thank you so much for joining us. Thanks to Allah Almighty who has given us the chance to be here with you. And thanks to IRIB English Radio and also Sevier International Schools Network. See you inshallah in the coming session. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa alihi at-tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil faraja.
Let's recite the Quran. A joint production of IRIB English Radio and Sevier International Schools. ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
IRIB English Radio.